War today, Monday, April 27th. And let's start off by doing a Pledge of Allegiance, if you'd all join me, please. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, if everybody's ready, if you could do the roll call for us, please.
Chair Onan.
Here.
Vice Chair Jenkins.
Here.
Commissioner Daniels.
Present.
Commissioner Fuller.
Present.
Commissioner Maynard.
Present.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll go to the public forum section of the meeting, and the public forum is for the public to speak on any item that's not on this evening's agenda. I do not have any speaker slips. Anything from the secretary?
No.
On that item, so we will open and close the public forum. And I'll go to our planning manager and see if we have any adjustments.
No, we do not.
All right. So let's move on to item A1.
Item A1 is the administrative agenda. It's Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of April 13th, 2015.
Thank you. Any comments on the minutes from our last meeting? Changes? Errors? No? Then we can entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a first and second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Looks unanimous. All right, so we're already into our presentation or discussion item this evening. Would you read that item for us?
Item B1 is the notice of preparation for the replacement California Highway Patrol facility at 7780 Hollister Avenue, Goleta.
All right, who's going to lead this discussion?
I will. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Let's see. As indicated, probably about 3 months ago, the city, we found out, the city was informed that the CHP was looking to relocate their facility and was looking at purchasing the property at 7780, if that's the right address, on Hollister Avenue. And our understanding is that that sale has been completed. So with that, the CHP is planning on relocating their facility from the current location on Cali Real over to Hollister Avenue. And they, at the beginning of April, the city did receive the notice of preparation for this project. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is to, you know, talk to the commission about it and let the community know, further know about the project, because we're not sure that it has much circulation within the community at this point in time. As we understand it, the CHP and the Department of General Services, which is who of the state is coordinating this project, is looking at doing this as a design-to-build project. Our understanding is that they are looking at getting comments from the city and from the community, and taking those comments and based on those actually coming up with the design and the site plan for the project. So there aren't specific designs at this point in time for us to comment on. I know this is hard, but the city does not have land use control over this project. That's something, so our involvement is limited in terms of what our scope can be. We can provide comments. We are charged with having responsible agency status, which is one that we can provide comments, and hopefully those comments can shape the project. But like I said, this is one where we do not have land use control over it. The purpose of the notice of preparation is to advise responsible agencies and trustee agencies that an EIR will be prepared, and to let us have us provide input on what should go into that EIR document. So they have provided the NOP, and they do list that they're planning on pretty much doing a full EIR in all issue areas identified within the CEQA checklist, except for two issue areas. And actually, I'll go into those issue areas in a minute. So the other purpose of tonight is if there's additional issues or specific topics that we want as a city to have covered in the EIR. This is a time for us to, we wanted to get comments and input from the commission and any of the public that are here to add to the letter that we are planning on writing and providing to the state within the mandated NOP period. As outlined in state law, NOPs are circulated for 30 days. So I know one of the letters we got commented on the short time period. That is what is afforded to agencies to respond is with the 30-day time period. So as I indicated, the location of the project, I'm sorry, those maps are on the small side, is located at 7780 Hollister. That is on the west end of Hollister. It is directly north of the Bluffs and to the east of the Hideaway neighborhood. The site is a vacant parking lot. That my understanding was that that parking lot was put in when for one of the previous oil companies when they were doing work out in the channel. This is a standard site layout that the state is using because they are replacing many CHP facilities around the state. This is not necessarily, they assured Ms. Carmen and others who attended the scoping meeting that this is not the site layout that they're wanting to hear from the community about the site layout, but this was something that they generally are using kind of to show parking and office space and all the other facilities they've got planned.
And those statements came when there was a lot of interest expressed in that turnout off of Hollister. They explained that this is their standard program and layout for their sites, but because it's a design-build project, things could be moved and sort of shifted around.
So the issues that they are planning on addressing within the EIR, I think there's 15 of them. I'll go through them quickly. There's aesthetics, air quality and greenhouse gas, biology, cultural resources, geology and soils, hazardous materials, hydrology and water quality, land use, noise, population and housing, public services, traffic and transportation and recreation. And the only two issues in the checklist that they're not planning on looking at are agricultural resources and mineral resources, given the nature of the site, the current existing situation of the site. The issues that we've identified as staff so far, and that list is growing, is aesthetic impacts, the biological impacts on nesting birds, given the presence of many mature trees around the site, circulation impacts, hazardous impacts and risks given its location to or the proximity to the Elwood onshore facility, the land use impacts of having a CHP office in a residential neighborhood, water availability, and then the inconsistency with our general plan. And we are interested, like I said, this evening to hear from the commission to see what other issues you might have and what the community might have that we could add to our letter. And just as the anybody, like I said, we are providing comments. We welcome and encourage anybody who wants to contact the state directly. The contact person's information is on the screen. We have her mailing address and her email address. We do not have a phone number. And we do have that information available at the counter in the planning division, that if people are interested in getting it, we have it and we can provide it to them. And with that, that concludes our presentation. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. So what we'll do is, well, if you have some specific questions on what's been presented at this point, we'll ask those. Then we'll go to the public and get public comments, and then we'll come back and see what we may come together as far as recommendations to add to that. So does anyone have any specific questions for staff? Go ahead and scroll.
Sure. Yeah. Public input. This is a scoping period. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So they're looking for public input with regards to what they should look at.
Correct. What should go into the environmental impact report. Plus, if there's design comments, as we heard that they would like those. I mean, I think they're going to be taking those comments throughout the process, but if people have specific comments about that, that would be helpful, and we'll pass those along, too.
And naturally, once the EIR is prepared, it will be circulated as a draft, and the public will again have an opportunity to make comments on the draft EIR. Is that correct?
Correct. But it... Oh, yes, correct.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure that the public understands that even though this 30 days is coming up very quickly and they may feel like they don't have an opportunity to be heard, they still will have opportunities to be heard. Is that correct?
That is correct. It will be the comments on the EIR and the final EIR would be given to the state, to the state.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next question.
Excuse me, sorry. Your mic's not on.
Well, the green light's on.
Oh. Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, he hasn't come out again.
It's off now.
All right, it's on now, and it's not on now. Green light's on.
Thank you. Sorry. And so that brings me to my next question. The city, what say do we have in this process, more than giving comments?
That's about the we can give comments and we can participate in the environmental review process.
But we will not be the final say on improving the EIR.
No.
Or the mitigation measures.
We will not.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Chair, I'm going to go over to Commissioner Maynard. Go ahead.
I have one follow-up question, much built off of the last set of comments. Because this, I think, is a zoning change for us, this is inconsistent with our zoning, is that correct?
Well, once the state purchases the property, which they have, it pretty much, it becomes state property, and they are not subject to any of our general plan or zoning requirements. They supersede us, and for all intents and purposes, we refer to it like it becomes a black hole, that it's something that... It's governed by the state, and they can disregard our zoning and general plan.
Okay. And you mentioned that there's inconsistencies with the general plan. In addition to zoning, were there other inconsistencies you identified?
Well, I just meant inconsistent. If we were looking at our general plan, that the land use calls for something other than a CHP facility.
So what specifically was that land use?
It was actually designated for commercial to support. The idea was that there would be commercial use there to support the residents and the other uses anticipated in the area.
Mr. Daniels.
Thank you. Staff, I noticed you say water availability service serving the facility. So my question is, do they have it?
Our understanding is they have not applied to the water district. So the water district, as far as we know, has not made a determination.
Can they take their water from where they are today and use it?
That's something up to the water district to decide.
Hmm. Okay.
During the public meeting, they did indicate that they will be following state procedure with their old building once they move to surplus it. So I would suspect that they would not be able to transfer their allocation depending on how that works, but that is entirely up to the water district.
Thank you.
Jennings? Mr. Chair, I'm just curious as to why. The existing facility, is that not big enough, not adequate? Are they not pursuing the option of remodeling it? Or I'm just curious as to why this location is, what's wrong with the current one?
They haven't answered that question, but we do know that the existing location is only about 1 acre in size, and this one's about 5 acres. I don't know if they indicated.
At the public meeting, they did indicate that the current facility is too small, and they do need expansion room and room for all of their equipment and vehicles, and it's been a very tight squeeze where they are. There were a lot of questions brought up about the number of parking places, how many new employees they expect to have there, and they were very general about what they would eventually have and any kind of phasing, but they did indicate that the current lot is too small for what they really need, and that's why they're looking to expand.
I have a question. So under what you've cited so far, you know, the loss of that commercial space for the residential or the neighborhood serving type, where will that be analyzed in the EIR?
We're suggesting that be looked at under land use.
Under the land use?
Yeah.
You'd make those specific comments
yes.
there. And then can you tell me, is this actually between the proposed assisted living? So it's between the Hideaway and the proposed...
Mariposa. Yes, it is.
Project?
It is.
Okay. Go ahead. Mr. Daniels?
Thank you. One last quick question. Having dealt with this before too many times, and so I want to make sure you guys are dealing with it. It's probably listed on page one here, is staff aware that of course there's an elementary school close, and the CHP has a lot of different antennas and dishes and you know, however many transmitting things that they can get on 5 acres. In my understanding of this, and I'm not a proponent, I'm not an opponent of it, I'm just throwing this out here. Is there an area where you will deal with transmissions for whatever the CHP is doing transmissions of? Has that come up yet?
Are you referring to like EMF issues?
Yes.
That hasn't, but that could easily be one under hazards and hazardous or under public utilities, but
right.
we haven't.
I understand. Okay. Well, all right. I'm throwing that out as something that, you know, might occur.
Well, and we will include that in the letter. Any comments we hear tonight, we're including those subject matters in our letter that goes to the state.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Chair. One last question. I know there was a letter submitted from the public library system about the notice of preparation not being posted at the library, and I assume that that's an issue at the state level, but could you talk a little bit about the notice of preparation and what might have gone on with it not getting to the library?
The state was the one that would take care of issuing the mm-hmm. notice of preparation. I don't know why it wasn't provided. Mm-hmm. I did send that letter up mm-hmm. to the state, so they're aware of that issue. Mm-hmm. Since the state is what we call the lead agency, it's mm-hmm. their responsibility to make sure that all of the responsible agencies receive the notice of preparation. Mm-hmm. And that's something they're going to have mm-hmm. to address.
Thank you for communicating. Thank you for communicating that to the state.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just to follow up on that question. So without that proper noticing, or at least making the public aware through the public library system, does that slow things down? Does that require the state to say, okay, we need to give it another month or however much time they needed to submit that and make that available to the public?
Well, technically, according to state law, the notice of preparation is only supposed to be, the requirement to send a notice of preparation is only to the responsible agencies. We were looking at that today about having the public notified. It's not technically spelled out in the state CEQA guidelines that the public is actually notified during the 30-day period. It is the city's practice that happens. But the state is a different agency that sometimes they don't follow the same level that you would hope that, you know, that cities hope they do.
The state guidelines suggest
yes.
that the public is notified and recommend or says that they may notify, but as Lisa or Ms. Prasse said, it's not actually required under the guidelines. But as a practice, we do that. So that, which is one reason why we're having this hearing tonight, to make sure it does get out into the public knowledge base, because this was not widely disseminated from what we understand.
Okay, so from the city of Goleta's standpoint, we're providing comments to the state.
Yes.
And without having noticed in the library, we don't have the full picture. We don't have the full response from our community that we can offer comments to the state. So can we say to the state, look, this noticing didn't go out. We need a little more time to allow our public and our residents to comment about it so that we can send a more fully, you know, package that's addressing all concerns, or at least giving the opportunity for the public to respond to it.
Well, we can certainly include that as a comment. It's really up to DGS, to extend it or to allow another time period. But we will comment on that, because it was a concern. Even the neighbor to the rear, from what we understand, on an adjacent property owner, was not aware.
And, wow. And neither was either. The property where the assisted living property wasn't aware until they called in on something else on Friday, and I talked to them.
Would they send direct notification to adjacent parcels?
Well, it's not required in the guidelines, the state CEQA guidelines. We thought they, no. We're coming at it from a city mindset where we would have, and but they didn't. But they were, both the adjacent property owners were given the NOP in the last week or two.
Chair, one final question from me, and that is, at the state level, okay, when this final EAR gets approved, so the state is basically approving its own EIR, so the state is approving themselves, that public hearing, is there a public hearing, and would there be a representative from Goleta or a contingent that would offer testimony during that process?
I don't believe there is actually a public hearing involved with the state process.
I feared not.
Yeah, I'm not. Wow. If I'm remembering correctly, I don't believe they said that there was not. I'm looking at some of the citizens who were at that meeting for confirmation, but we could definitely check on that and see what the actual approval process would be through the state DGS.
Mr. Daniels?
Yes, thank you, Chair. One more comment, Ms. Prasse. I'm guessing, and given that the state is involved, I don't know, but there was some kind of notice with general circulation involved here, and you know, in some kind of newspaper somewhere. No?
No.
Not to our knowledge.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
All right, so let's go to the public and get the comments the public would want to put on. And I'm assuming these documents that have been submitted to us at the dais would be used for the city's comment letter and included?
We will note them, but... And we'll probably pass them on up to the state, too.
Okay.
Actually, two of them
already went. I only have the letter from David Shear and Chandra Waller in front of me. That one went to the state. Mr. Cox's letter was addressed to us, I believe.
Right.
I sent that one,
the library one.
Then we're ahead of the game here.
Okay, great. So let's go to public comment, and we'll start with Dr. Ingeborg Cox, and we'll be followed by Chandra Waller. We have 3 minutes. Somebody's keeping the time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I only have 3 minutes?
We'll start with that.
Okay. The NOP does not address the health and safety of the people living near the plant facility. Public health and safety is not mentioned in the CEQA overview and needs to be addressed. Also, other issues that are not mentioned in the CEQA overview are, for example, cultural and historical resources. Under hydrology, you need to add water resources. Again, I stated the safety of the public and health is not there. Transportation and circulation need to be addressed. Project alternative analysis should be addressed. Environmentally superior alternatives also should be mentioned. And a mitigation monitoring program, I hope they do that, but accordingly to what I'm hearing, it looks like the state can do whatever they want. The recommendations of the Air Quality and Land Use Handbook from the California EPA and the California Air Resources Board considers children and the elderly sensitive receptors. And it is stated to avoid placing a gas station within 300 feet of them. Why is the vehicle fueling or gasoline dispensation placed on the side closest to sensitive receptors? Exposure to diesel exhaust and particulates need to be analyzed. The health effects of the 148-foot-tall radio antenna tower near the Las Armas roads needs analysis. In 2011, the World Health Organization International Agency on Cancer Research, IARC, classified radio frequency radiation as a possible human carcinogen. The effect of the exposure to EMFs to children, nearby residents, and pregnant women needs also analysis. The Reliant facility at the end of Las Armas Road has also a need to be considered because here you have then two areas of exposure. The auto shop will most likely use solvents. They contain volatile organic compounds, hazardous air pollutants, and all chemicals that are being used in the auto shop need to be analyzed in detail regarding the health effects and also to determine the effects on the ozone. Why are the tires located beside the trash container? Outdoor tire piles create a fire hazard. How will the wastewater that the auto repair shop will generate be disposed of? Remember that nearby Deborah Creek is in Esha, and will wastewater be held in a storage tank? Trucks should not be checked in a residential area and near a school. Diesel trucks at 50 feet have a noise level of near 90 decibels. Consequently, an acoustical study should be done. The applicant should also prepare a traffic management plan with precise estimates of construction-related traffic and where they will park. Figure 2 is completely missing the new hideaway housing project and, in my opinion, should be part of the map. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cox. All right, Chandra Waller, and followed by Barbara Massey.
Good evening, Chair and members of the Commission. I'm Chandra Waller. I live at 7735 Kestrel Lane in the Bluffs. Thank you for the opportunity to address you this evening. If I could ask staff to bring up the slide with the site layout, that would be helpful. Yeah. First of all, if this project is constructed, it is imperative that it be done in a manner that's consistent with the surrounding uses and also has an aesthetically pleasing appearance. I have before you a letter which indicates many of the concerns we have, and I'm going to highlight just a few this evening, but I hope you'll take a few moments to read the entire submittal. First of all, aesthetics. As you know, the surrounding area is higher-end residential and commercial properties and also school. It's important that the community character and feel be maintained. We can do this with vegetative buffers, noting building scale, colors and materials, and where specific uses are located on the property. For instance, the tower, the fueling station, and the truck check area. Those could be located towards the rear of the property, which would reduce the impacts on the adjacent property owners. The truck check area is of special concern because, as you can see, it's immediately on Hollister, has no buffering. We believe that it should be placed on the rear of the property and accessed via the right-of-way that is provided at the rear of the property, not on Hollister. To do so on Hollister is not only aesthetically displeasing, but will cause significant traffic issues. Land use planning. Certainly, it needs to be of a reasonable bulk and scale. It appears that this property is very dense for the site, and so I would ask that they really look at that as far as whether they have the proper bulk and scale. Public services, utilities, and energy. As was noted, 148-foot tower is proposed. This should be at the rear of the property and perhaps done in a manner that would be consistent with the eucalyptus trees that are there. They're pretty tall trees, and something could be done, I think, that would make a tower blend in if this is actually constructed. We would also ask that they consider co-use of this facility, the tower, the automotive stations, the fuel stations, with the nearby fire station that's going to be constructed. Doesn't make any sense to have duplication of those facilities basically within a block of each other or so. Utility poles should be underground on all sides. I'm certain that the hideaway is underground. I would suspect that the residential property that's going to be developed, well, residential, the assisted living that's going to be developed to the east actually has undergrounding as well. They should reuse recycled water. May I have just a few more seconds? They should use recycled water for all of their landscaping. It's available right in Hollister Avenue. Hollister Avenue itself is a recently reconstructed, and it's one lane in each direction, and I think that's adequate for the existing and near-term traffic. It is not adequate if this facility were to take direct access. We recommend that the access for this facility come off one of the two side streets and that there be no direct access to Hollister. As was noted, the Bluffs is immediately across the road. Those folks, me, already have difficulty accessing Hollister, and with this truck check area, that will become even more critical with conflicting movements. Sidewalks are necessary both for the existing pedestrians and school children and any that might be created by new development. I think it needs to be on all sides of the location. That concludes my comments for you this evening. I'd be happy to answer any specific questions that you may have for me, and again, would encourage you and your staff to take a look at what we have. Perhaps some of those comments can assist you in making yours to the state. Thank you again.
Thank you. Barbara Massey?
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. This Hollister location for the CHP facility is not appropriate for such intensive use. It is adjacent to two residential developments and an approved assisted living facility. There are safety impacts from placing an auto shop and gas tanks with a fuel island in this area. They are considerably hazardous materials, and there's a noise involved with this in a residential area. There's also concern about the safety of 148-foot tall radio tower, like everyone else has mentioned. There will be serious traffic impacts on Hollister, which has been made dangerous by the recent narrowing of Hollister. The addition of an overly wide median in front of Haskell's Landing / the hideaways is a real problem. This western end of Hollister should have a continuation of the four lanes currently stopping at Elwood School. The aesthetic impacts of placing a truck check area in the front of the building, which gives it an industrial appearance, is incompatible with the neighborhood. The radio tower and the location of the fuel island and auto shop are other aesthetic issues. The notice of preparation on the project provided the public with very little information on which to comment. There wasn't even a conceptual site plan. Thankfully, there was a site plan in the PowerPoint for the hearing. One can only hope that the draft EIR adequately covers topics listed. There's also the problem of lack of adequate public notification of the NOP scoping hearing. There were only six people at the hearing because the public didn't know there was a meeting. I ask that you point out to the planner and the state that this has occurred and ask that the release of the EIR be widely noticed. I've been doing this sort of thing for over 40 years, even before CEQA. And this is the first time ever that I have not at least seen a notice in the newspaper. And I can tell you it wasn't there because I look at the paper every single day and the LA Times every single day because I don't trust anybody. So they really have ignored us in a very nasty way as far as I'm concerned, because they should at least care what we have to say. even if they don't pay any attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Massey. All right, I think that's all our public comments. No other slips. All right, so we'll go back to the commission here. And, well, first, is there anything that staff would like to specifically respond to from public comment?
I don't think so. No.
I can, just for folks who are curious, they did indicate that, and I'm not sure if, I think it's in the staff report, the radio tower, the communication tower, is 148 feet tall. However, the structural square tower that they currently have now, it will be something like that, like square metal, only goes up about 120 feet, and then it's a whip antenna for the remaining 28 feet. They did indicate at the hearing that they've already received preliminary approval from the FAA due to flight paths, and so that was surprising. When I first got there, that was my first question, is we haven't seen what this looks like. We don't know what it is, and that got them to start talking about it. I have a feeling that due to the design-build nature of this project, that's partly why we haven't been able to see any elevations. They're not that far along, and hopefully the vast amount of comments that we plan on sending to the state, they will actually look at these issues in their environmental impact report. So, that's all.
Mr. Chair.
All right.
Staff, will this project at all go before the DRB?
No.
So how do we address aesthetics?
It'll just be comments that we can provide in the environmental impact report. They said it's not required to. They didn't say that they wouldn't. They said that they might as a courtesy, but they don't have to, unfortunately. So
it's just it's a little aggravating. I mean, we have no representative. I'm assuming there's no representative here from the CHP or the state, and it's just like they apparently don't care.
Well, they're not here because we didn't get to them to tell them that we were having this.
I see.
Okay. So
yeah, this was sort of a last minute. We really wanted to. We sat as staff listing issues, and we realized this was when we were finding out about the lack of distribution of the NOP, and so it was very last minute. But we wanted to make sure it was on TV. People had a chance to know about it, and that it just wasn't. We weren't able to get people here to represent.
Will this be coming back to the commission then at any time during the formative stages or no?
During the formative stages, no. But when the draft's available, we can certainly also provide an opportunity for comment through the commission as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can I just ask, how long does the public now have to get comments to us that we can include in our communication to the state?
Well, if they want to provide comment, you know, like a letter, I no problem, scanning those and emailing those up to the state. We will be getting our letter to the state by May 8th. I'm planning this week to start drafting a letter and getting it finalized so that we can send it to the state via email by the 8th. So if they have comments, they this week would be very helpful.
Okay, so we're asking the public to get their comments in this week if possible.
Well, the deadline is May 8th, uh-huh. And so they can send them direct as well and via the email address that's on the screen. Which is environmental@dgs.ca.gov, and they will accept comments in all forms. So,
okay. Other comments or things from others on the commission,
Chair?
Mr. Daniels?
Thank you. For the record, Ms. Prezy, the letter from Dr. Cox and the letter from Ms. Waller. Have been sent to the state already, right?
The letter from Mr. Cox has been. I don't know if we've got a letter from Dr. Cox. And the letter from Ms. Waller, I haven't sent it, but I'm assuming they have. So she is indicating they have sent it.
Okay, thank you. The discussion that Ms. Massey had, all that will that be in a letter?
I will be sending a letter up to you.
Okay, Thank you very much. All right. I wanted all that on the record. Thank you.
All right. Other commissioner comments, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, first, I have one clarifying question. Will the fueling be an underground storage facility of the fueling station, or will that be above ground?
I'm not sure we know that. I mean, we only saw what we have on that site plan.
If that is something that you would like analyzed, we can certainly include that in the letter.
Their current facility is above ground.
Right. I would assume they're talking above ground, because there was a discussion about they have a security shed where they keep their flares and other equipment, mm-hmm. and it was important to keep those separate. Mm. So I'm guessing above ground.
Okay. I can understand that.
Given those comments, but that we're a little bit unsure, I'll just briefly mention that I would have more concerns if it was an underground facility. I looked up briefly, 32% of underground storage tanks for petroleum in California do not meet requirements for prevention and release detection. There are over 5,600 backlogged cleanups in California for underground fueling stations. So I would be very concerned about adding an underground fueling station. So that would be something I'd be concerned about. I'm also curious, so then how would the fueling tank be monitored for potential leaks and any erosion, just to make sure if there's any release of the petroleum into air quality emissions or other leaks?
Would be, the state, mm-hmm. or if they, maybe the county, if the county mm-hmm. control, you know, regulates the state operations, but it's...
A very appropriate comment for the letter to be analyzed.
Yes, and that would certainly not be Galita's responsibility, but hopefully that would be in the AIR, what their protocols are going to be for leak detection. I would like an analysis of a comparison of the current CHP facility to the new facility to see that those two alternatives would be considered in the EIR. You know, could they build up at the existing facility rather than expanding to a new facility? That would be a question that I would have. I'd like all air quality, water quality, and public health concerns to take into account both children and elderly, as we do have an elementary school right next door, as well as the assisted living facility. So I think the EIR needs to take that into consideration. I noticed that they have a stormwater detention basin, which is a great thing to have there as a best practice, but have they considered a retention basin and being able to collect stormwater that they could use to support their landscape? So again, a water quality, both in terms of collecting their own water on site. If they're already doing the detention basin, they're putting in most of the infrastructure they'd need to take that one extra step. As some comments were made in the public comment, I would like to see reclaimed water used at this site. I guess the other concern is that I know this was originally, my understanding is this was originally for research and business parks, and I know we have had to give up some of the research and business park land for needed affordable housing. And if we are losing another bit of research and business park land, that would be a concern for me.
It's commercial.
Okay. Oh, commercial. Okay, general commercial.
General commercial.
Okay. And I also support the comment that was made about having sidewalks. And I would also mention a connection to the bike path. So if you've got that truck center on the front side, how will that affect the bike path that's planned for Hollister? I know they're planning on expanding and improving the bike infrastructure along Hollister there. I think those are my key concerns.
Commissioner Fuller, do you have anything to add?
Yes. First, I'd just like to thank our citizens for their studious input on this. Their comments and considerations mm-hmm. should definitely be taken into consideration by the state. In particular, I fall along the lines of Ms. Waller's comments mm-hmm. and that a very substantial landscaping buffer needs to be there between Hollister and the building. Especially since they seem to have the room to do that. And, of course, putting the antenna at the rear. but many of these comments, I think, are really need to be considered. I would further say that since this is a state building, that we would hope that they could do a design that has above average architectural detailing, rather than just a you know, a very basic industrial slab construction, given that we hold our community in a higher standard, and the character of the residences, especially on Kestrel, are very nice and should be complemented rather than brought down by the construction of this facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jennings? Mr. Daniels, you got it? Okay. The only thing that I have to add is if we go back a few years and remember the state building on right off Turnpike, where they did the smog certifications. If you've been around for it, do you remember that one, Ed?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Where In-N-Out Burger is now.
Oh.
This very unattractive building, two-story, not a window in it, block structure.
Yeah.
It was incredibly offensive. Fortunately, that was eventually removed and replaced with our wonderful In-N-Out Burger. So I understand the public's concern for the concept of scale and bulk and those kind of things. A question is, obviously, we don't necessarily have a process that would include any kind of reviews on our part, but this design-build concept, at some point, they will come to design. Can we suggest that it would be very beneficial for them to?
Yes.
And that could go through DRB, perhaps, for those kind of comments? I don't know that it would be appropriate coming here.
Well, we can certainly suggest that. I would assume that we will see draft or conceptual elevations when they release the draft EIR. I would certainly hope so by that point. But we will definitely reach out to them and offer that that they could come in and meet with our board if they would like to. So.
Okay. So any other comments that we got in there? Boy, you've got a big letter to write. And it's really important. You know, obviously the community is engaged, and it is a little disconcerting how miss of a fit that is out there. But,
yes.
You know, these are the things that happen in these circumstances. So with that, I think we have finished up that discussion item. Let's go right to the director's report.
We don't really have a director's report today. We have been working on budget, so I don't have anything to report. We will have the extended schedule as promised at our next meeting. I apologize for not having it tonight, but we just have been a little overwhelmed, and that 24-hour bug is also that a lot of people have in town has been going around as well. So it knocked me out for a couple days last week. So, but we will have that at our next meeting, and which we will. It's only one meeting in May. Due to the holiday, and the sixth. Go ahead.
We have the first meeting in May,
and the second meeting in May.
We'll have a meeting on the
13th. Yes.
13th,
yeah.
Okay.
Will you also email out the new schedule as well? I know we've verbally talked about the changes in the schedule, but would you email
yes,
out
we'll
a new copy?
Yes, we'll give you something in writing.
Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much. That helps.
Okay.
Commissioner Daniels.
Chair, thank you. I sense that there are some ES students here. If you want to come up and say your piece to us, one way or another, who decided to come? Who required you to come? Is really my point. Was it Paul Wack? Was it Dr. Wilkinson? Paul Wack, okay. I got one Paul Wack. Paul Wack. Everybody's going to say Paul Wack. Okay. I hope you enjoyed it. All right. Have a good night. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so I'm taking that as your planning commissioner's comments? Or did you have something else to add to that?
No, that was in my planning commissioner's comments.
Did you have any of those? All right, so we're opening the floor to any other commissioner's comments. Anyone have any? No? Seeing none, let's adjourn the meeting. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seemed honest like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek, I love to climb a mountain and reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arms around you, the charms around you will carry on you.